Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. He is worthy of it all. Amen. King Jesus. He's the only one worthy of our praise. So we exalt him in his house this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus above, name above all names. Anybody receive a word from the Lord during worship? Sometimes God will show me something. I know oftentimes he'll show Bobby something for somebody, and maybe she's even tapped on your shoulder during worship and wanted to share something with you. And let me tell you, she wrestles with it first. She doesn't just do it off the cuff. She waits, and so if she comes up to you and has something to share, pray about it, you know. But wow, I mean, I'm still focused on the word from last week about not just being alert, but staying alert. Staying alert and being watchful so we won't be ignorant of the devil's schemes, right? So he won't take advantage of us with his craftiness. And we got to stay alert for that, church, especially in these days we're living in. Good God, help us all. I read about a U.S.-born Spanish woman named Maria who currently, as of this morning, is the oldest living person in the world. That's up today. That could change tonight. But as of today, Maria, this lady Maria, is 116 years old. Now, I know people have lived longer than her, but living today, and she's halfway to 117. Where do you get birthday cards for people like that? That's crazy. 116 years old. You think, oh, so what? Read your Bible, you know? Enoch lived to be 365 years old. Seth, one of Adam and Eve's sons, 912 years. Adam, 930 years. Noah, 950 years. And, of course, old Methuselah, he's got them all beat, 969. I thought, imagine how pure the air, the water, how everything was back then. But that's crazy to think of those kind of years. Anyway, getting back to Maria, 116 years old. That means I can beat her in another 46 years, right? Josiah, you'll almost be 70 then. I thought Violet would be 53. But anyway, whether we live to be 116 years old like Maria or 116 days or 116 minutes, the Bible tells us our lives here or like a vapor, right? Just like the morning fog. Here for a minute and gone. Everything here is temporary, yet we cling to this world as if this is all there is. But as believers, we know that's not true. We know all this is temporary, and if we truly believe in Christ as our Savior, we know we're going to live with him for all eternity. Hallelujah. That's good news. So whether life here on earth lasts 116 years or 116 minutes compared with eternity, our lives here are like that vapor. Here 1 minute and gone the next. We're not always ready for it when it comes, but we all know it comes. It's going to come to every one of us. So we need to know that we know that we know that when our time comes, and we take our last breath here, that we're going to be with Jesus, right? So do you know for sure? If tonight was your last night on earth, if you took your last breath here tonight at midnight, do you know where you'd be at 12:01? And some people might say, well, I think I'm saved. I'm pretty sure I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I hope I get to heaven. I hear a lot of people say, well, I hope I go to heaven. I'm thinking, hey, if you only think you're saved, if you hope you're saved, guess what? You're not saved. You're not saved. You got to know. You got to know that you know that you know with no doubt. The word is clear. It's what old Billy Graham preached his entire life of ministry. Confess to the Lord your sins, right? Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Invite him to come and live in your heart and take control of your life, a life that may be out of control or maybe going down the wrong path. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I didn't write those words. That's the word of God. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You won't have to think you're saved. You won't have to hope you're saved. You'll know. You'll know that you know that you know you're saved. Amen? And if you're not sure about your eternity, oh my, let's talk before you leave. You don't want to play around with your eternity. You want to be sure. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. That means quit putting it off. Take care of that today. I put it off for the first 33 years of my life. But I recommend you don't put it off another day if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm probably preaching to the choir, but that's okay. Now, I mentioned Billy Graham a minute ago. He was 99 years old when he left this earth in 2018. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years already. And there were a lot of tributes, if you remember, a lot of TV specials about his life, about his ministry, seeing all the photos of him as a kid growing up over the years, from a young boy to a young man, and then photos of him the last year he was here. You could just see the comparison, how time changes these physical bodies, these earth suits we've been given to live in while we're here, right? We're spirit, but we have to have flesh to function and get around here. But it's pretty obvious how time ages us. And we measure time in years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, even seconds. And they're very specific measurements of time. 60 seconds is a minute, not 59 seconds, not 61, but 60. There's 24 hours in a day, not 23 or 25. 7 days in a week, so on and so on. But sometimes we measure time in seasons. Right? Seasons aren't usually measured in hours or weeks or months. Seasons are usually measured by events or by experiences. And there are some seasons of life that, oh, we just love. We don't want to see them end. But then there's those other seasons of life that we hate and we can't wait for them to be over. Am I right? But whether we're in a good season of life right now or whether we're in a very challenging season right now, we need to keep our focus on the Lord and have faith that he will guide us safely through to the other side if we're willing to follow him instead of going our own way and doing our own thing. It may be a very bumpy ride at times. Just because you're following Jesus doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. I thought, man, now that I'm a Christian, life's going to be smooth. Not at all. We may suffer some bumps and bruises and some hardships. Now, there may be jubilation and clear sailing, or there may be storm clouds and sorrow and heartbreak. And then it may be something in between. So the title of this morning's message is Keep the Faith in Every Season. And we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Habakkuk. So Lord, we look into your word. Your word's alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and we want to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven. I don't have anything important to say, but you do. So I surrender my agenda, my plan, my preparation to anything you want to share. If there's anything on these pages that you don't want shared, blind my eyes to them. But if there was something you were trying to get my attention with last night before I went to bed and I missed it, put it in my heart, put it in my spirit so it comes out of my mouth. But give us ears now to hear what your spirit is speaking to this church, because your word doesn't go out and return void. Your word goes out and accomplishes your purpose for it. And that's what we're thanking you for today in Jesus' name. So give us ears to hear. All right. Well, let's look at God's word. Let's see what we can learn or be reminded of, something we already know but maybe we haven't thought of lately. It's a passage of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. It was probably one of the better known parts of the Bible in 1965, thanks to a band called The Byrds. And the birds recorded a song written by Pete Seeger called Turn, 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 based on these verses in Ecclesiastes. And what we find in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes is a great truth about the reality of life. Namely, everything changes. And as the seasons of nature change, you know, like this morning, I had to put a flannel shirt on. I love flannel shirt weather. But, you know, as we prepare, the seasons of nature change, so do the seasons of life. And as we prepare and adjust to the fall coming and winter coming, we also have to prepare and adjust to the seasons of life we go through. And in God's grand plan for us, we need to know that these seasons of life bring change, but they bring purpose to our lives. We're not just coasting through. So let's look at the first four verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything. To everything, turn, turn. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And then he lists them. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And then he goes on in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to mend. A time to be silent, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time for war. Time for peace. Now, whether you realize it or not, we just listed 28 events and emotions that we're all pretty familiar with. Born and die. Plant, uproot. Kill, heal. Tear down and build. Weep and laugh. Mourn and dance. Scatter and gather. Embrace and refrain. Search and give up. Keep, throw away. Tear and mend. Be still and speak. Love, hate, war, peace. 28 events and emotion that as adults we have all observed or experienced many times, some more than others. So we don't have to show proof or receipts or list the times and places when these things took place. These things just happen. They happen in your life and they happen in my life. And since our lives are made up of such realities, it shows us how important it is to have the Lord in our lives. And to realize he allows certain things to happen at certain seasons in our lives. I'm not saying he causes a lot of things, but he allows certain things to happen. And we need to understand that. And we need to accept it instead of whining and complaining about it. To acknowledge God's ownership of time and seasons and the way he sets it all up will help us live here with some sense of greater peace and greater sanity and trust and balance in our lives and confidence and in faith in the one who is above time, our Heavenly Father. He created time. Think about that when we say, man, God, you're dragging your feet. He's never late. He created time. He owns time. How can he be late? And his timing is always perfect, whether we think so or not. And I've wrestled with God's timing a lot, haven't you? I'll always say, well, you may never be late, but he's missed a lot of good opportunities to be early. If you haven't wrestled with that, then you're a whole lot holier than I am, okay? But why wouldn't we want to honor him? Why wouldn't we want to obey his commands when we know that they're all designed for our ultimate good and benefit? But let's face it, sometimes we don't understand how that can be when we look around. But that's because we have such a limited perspective, right? It's like we have tunnel vision. We see like right here. God sees the beginning. He sees the end, everything in between, right? The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us that every season of life has a purpose. And we're going to face times of difficulty and pain. I wish I could tell you that won't happen, but it will, and it does. But we all also have times of joy, great joy, and peace, and celebration. And God can use each one of these seasons of life to teach us something about who He is and how much He loves every one of us. He's crazy about us. He can also use these seasons to teach us something about ourselves, too, if we're willing to learn. And we may never fully understand what God has planned for us. I wonder how much of the things as a younger man that I missed out on because I was so far from Him. And He thought, man, Bob, I had that for you, and you went right on by. I had this for you, and you went that way. But I don't want to live with regrets either. We can't go back. We can only go forward. So we may never fully understand what God has planned or had planned for us, but our attitudes toward life change when we learn to see the good times and the bad times as opportunities to grow closer to our Heavenly Father. And you know what? He desires that more than we do. He wants that fellow. He wants that intimacy. He wants that closeness. And sometimes we say we want it, but sometimes our life shows that we're more interested in other stuff, all this temporary stuff that we're chasing. I mean, we may look at world events, especially like the bombing and killing taking place in Israel. We can look at the mess in our own nation, all the chaos, all the fighting, all the deception going on, even in our own communities, maybe even in our own homes. And we wonder, does God even hear us when we pray about this stuff? Well, there was an Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk, and he wondered about the same things as he was observing all the chaos taking place in his nation. And it was very troubling to him, so he complains to God. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Habakkuk says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help?" So he's struggling with the timing of God as well. "How long must I call for help, but you don't listen? Violence is everywhere I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see this sin and misery all around me? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight." I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. I mean, that sounds like my hometown in New Jersey. I was surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. And some of them lived in the same house I lived in. Well, look what Habakkuk says in verse 4. "The law has become paralyzed and useless, and there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted." One translation says, "Justice is perverted with bribes and trickery." Boy, that sounds like our nation today, doesn't it? See, this is a one-on-one conversation between Habakkuk and God that we get to listen in on. And I wonder, how often do we really take the time for a real conversation with God? I mean a real conversation. I don't mean a quick prayer for some need we have and then off to class or off to work or off to the ball game or something. I mean a real conversation, one-on-one. You and our Heavenly Father. That's what Habakkuk is having here, right? He's not in a group of people. He's very frustrated, and he's complaining to God about it, and he's not understanding why God isn't doing something about all the violence and all the evil he sees every day. See, Habakkuk's in a season of life where everything seems to be going wrong. It's like nothing is going right. You ever been in one of those seasons? Maybe you're in that kind of season now. And Habakkuk is so frustrated, and he questions God. Look how the Lord answers him in verse 5, 6, and 7. The Lord replied, "Look at the nations and be amazed." I think that's what God is telling us. Look at the nations and be amazed. "For I am doing something in your own day." He's telling Habakkuk, this ain't going to be after a year-long God dead and gone. And I believe he's telling us this too. "For I'm doing something in your own day, our own day, right now, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They'll march across the world. They'll conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty. They do whatever they like, and no one can stop them. Wow. I mean, Habakkuk is asking God for help here, and God tells him he's going to solve the problem by sending those wicked Babylonians in to wipe out everyone and everything. That's not the answer Habakkuk was hoping for. He doesn't understand God's answer, and he questions God again. He said, well, why would you send a group of people who are more wicked and more violent than we are? And to do what? God? Destroy us? Wipe us out? Is that what you're going to do? Why are you sending the wicked to destroy the righteous? And I got to admit, that sounds like a pretty reasonable question. Habakkuk really doesn't understand God's answer. But man, haven't we all had times in our own lives when we prayed for God's help about something? We had a difficult time understanding his answer, if he answered, how he answered. I know I have. And I think sometimes we get an idea in our heads about how God should answer our prayer, how we would like him to answer the prayer, right? Now, don't tell me you haven't thought like that. I know I'm not the only one. It's almost like we're telling him, just do it this way, God, and we'll be fine. Just bless this. Just bless what I'm going to do, and we'll move on. I mean, we pray, and we think it through. We even reason it all out and convince ourselves that we think we know how God will answer our prayer, right? Right? I mean, come on. Yeah. And it's like we almost expect a certain answer from him. We begin to expect a certain outcome to our prayers, but then God's answer is far from what we expected. Kind of like God's answer to Habakkuk. So this is what Habakkuk is dealing with. I know you've been there. We all have. That's not the answer I was hoping for, God. That's definitely not the answer I was praying for. That's where Habakkuk is. So he prays a second time. And again, he waits. He waits for the Lord to answer him. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2 now, verse 2 and 3. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. See, there's a message, but this is the correct message. Sometimes things get lost in a translation. It's passed down, it's passed down, it's passed down. But this is interesting. He says that a runner can carry the correct message to others. But these things I plan won't happen right away, Habakkuk. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. If it seems slow. Does God ever seem slow to you? Or is it only me? Wait patiently. How many know there's a difference between waiting and waiting patiently? Like when you're running late and the light turns red and you're waiting for it to turn green. It's like, come on. You're waiting, but you're not waiting patiently. I've been there. I do that too, right? God's telling Habakkuk here, it's going to happen, man. It's going to happen, but not right away. So don't worry about it. I've got it. It'll surely take place. It won't be delayed, according to God. According to Habakkuk, it's like, wow, you should have done this yesterday. And then God tells him this in verse 4. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves. And me and Josiah were talking the other day about these billionaires, these elite people that got all the money, and how they think they don't need God, right? They're making all these plans, all these decisions they're making, controlling a lot of what happens in our life. They're the proud, right? They don't need God. But God will have the final say. They trust in themselves. That's what they do. And their lives are crooked. But God says, the righteous will live by their faith. The righteous will live by their faith. Now, there's three times in the New Testament that this verse is quoted or referenced. It's not on the screen, but listen up. Romans 1, verse 17 says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. That's Paul writing to the Romans. Then he writes to the Galatians in 3, verse 11. It's through faith that a righteous person has life. Same words. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 38, it says, and my righteous ones will live by faith. The same thing, right? God speaks. And Habakkuk begins to understand now. He realizes he can't argue with God's plan and purpose anymore, even if he doesn't fully understand it. He's still a little frustrated because he doesn't see anything changing yet. But by faith, he chooses to trust God. You know, there's a song by Brian and Katie Torwalt that says, when I don't understand, I will choose you, God. When I don't understand, I will choose to love you, God. Habakkuk didn't understand, but he chose to trust God. And there are seasons of life when you and me may question what God is doing, and there are seasons of life when we don't understand what God is doing. But in every season, we must have faith that God knows exactly what he's doing. So we too can sing, when I don't understand, I'll trust you too, God. Right? We need to sing that. We need to make sure that in every circumstance, in every situation, in every difficulty, and in every blessing, in every season of life, good or bad, we need to trust our Abba, our Papa God. We need to keep the faith in every season. Amen? See, my faith in God isn't dependent on your faith in God. Likewise, your faith in God isn't dependent on my faith in God. Each one of us needs to have our own personal faith and trust in God for every season of life, good or bad. And in the final chapter of Habakkuk, he finishes his one-on-one conversation with God with another prayer, and he has a completely different attitude now. Look at his prayer. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, if you know anything about fruit trees, no blossoms, no fruit. And there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields are empty, nothing growing in the fields, and barren, even though the flocks die in the field, all the livestock, and the cattle barns are empty, no cattle in the barns, yet, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm thinking, Habakkuk, are you kidding me? I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the sovereign Lord is my strength. Oh, there it is. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. Man. Look at that. No crops, right? No fruit, no vegetables, no grain, which means no bread, no animals, which means no meat, no milk, nothing. Absolutely nothing. This describes an extremely devastating, life-threatening famine, and yet Habakkuk is going to rejoice in the Lord. He's going to be joyful in the God of his salvation. How could he possibly do that? Well, he tells us because he knows the sovereign Lord is his strength. And he trusts that the Lord will bring him safely over the mountains, over any obstacles in his way. In this famine he's describing, it's like, wow, how am I going to get through this? He's trusting God. And the sovereign Lord is our strength too. Same Lord. Same God. He didn't get tired. And if we trust him, I mean really, really trust him, he'll bring us safely over any mountains or any obstacles in our way too. Amen? I hope you believe that this morning. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. It's like we say, show me God and I'll believe. He says, you believe and then I'll show you. Right? Habakkuk's rejoicing in God's goodness and faithfulness to his word. And Habakkuk has moved from a place of anger and frustration and confusion and fear to a place of complete faith and trust. His confusion has been replaced with confidence, confidence in the Lord. His worry has been replaced with worship, worship like we did earlier, to the Lord, the only one worthy. And his fear and his doubt has been replaced by faith and trust. Habakkuk's strength is renewed. There's joy. There's hope in his heart again. And he just gives us such a great example of how we can trust God and have faith in every season of our lives too. Despite how we feel sometimes, despite our circumstances at times, despite the things that we don't understand and wish and pray were different, our faith and our trust in God, the sovereign Lord, will sustain us because he's sovereign and we're not. Because he's God and we're not. Right? And he's a God who listens and responds when we cry out to him. Call to me and I will answer you. Right? Jeremiah 33:3. And tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. What an amazing promise. Habakkuk didn't know what God was doing, so he called out to him, and God answered him, right? He fulfilled that. He answered him. Now, we may not know. We may not understand what God is doing either, but if we'll call out to him, he will answer us. Amen? He will answer us. So, may God help every one of us to have more faith in him in every season of life, because the sovereign Lord is our strength and he really knows what he's doing. He really knows what he's doing, and we can trust him, and he'll bring us safely over our mountains, whatever those mountains are. Maybe there's a mountain in your life right now you need to get safely over. Well, let's pray about it. If you're facing a mountain that's not moving, and he's telling us he'll bring us safely over that mountain, over an obstacle. Rising above the obstacle is what he's showing us here. He knows what he's doing, and we can trust him. Amen? Let's pray. Stand with me, please. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be up here for a while. And you got a mountain that you're having trouble getting over or around, let's pray about it. He knows. He's the answer. Lord, give us the kind of faith and trust that Habakkuk showed. But he was real in the beginning. He was complaining. He didn't understand. He was frustrated. He said, How long are you going to put up with this stuff? And then you showed him. You answered him. And sometimes we get like that. David, writing Psalm 13, says, How long? He asked for it. How long? You know, a lot of times I've asked, how long, God? How long is it going to be before you move? How long is it going to be before you do something? How long is it going to be before my breakthrough comes? How long is it going to be before you heal my daughter? How long is it going to be? But you created time. You own time. So you're never late. Seldom early, but never late. Help us trust in your timing more than we do. Help us realize you're not slow. Sometimes we're just too impatient, too fast. We live in such a fast-paced, high-tech, microwave everything culture. High-speed internet, where we're geared to have it now. And you, just like you told Habakkuk, it's going to happen. And just not right away. But trust me, it's going to happen. You wouldn't even believe it if I told you. So when God says to Habakkuk, look at the nations, I think he's telling us, look at the nations, because you're not going to believe what I'm going to do either, even if somebody told you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we know nothing's impossible for you. As we pray for revival for our nation, as we pray for this nation to come back to you, as we pray for your kingdom to come, may that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Give us faith to persevere, to keep pressing in for more of you. and not get discouraged when we look around at all the chaos and nonsense happening in the world. You've got it all figured out. I believe you're exposing more and more of the deception so everybody else will realize, wow, I didn't know that. Anyway, Lord, it's all according to your timetable, and we just want to be found faithful to what you're calling us to be as your ecclesia here in the earth, your ruling body, to share the good news of Jesus, to share the love of Jesus, but also not to compromise our beliefs, our values. Show us how to show your love and kindness. Teach us how to speak the truth in greater love. Your word says it's your kindness that leads to repentance. May your kindness live in us, and let us share that kindness with others that disagree with us, others that maybe curse us, others that are living a completely different lifestyle. Let us show your goodness and your kindness, and may it be so attractive that people will leave that old life behind and pursue you. It's like Peter, they had to drop those nets to follow you. You may not call on us to give up our livelihood, but Lord, what else would be more important than following you? Let us have a greater understanding and revelation of that, because we cling to stuff here tightly. We think we are accumulating all this stuff. Now, we're not to be foolish. We're to be wise stewards, but let us not be greedy. Let us not be hoarders. Let us not neglect those who you put in our path that need our help. God, I pray a blessing over everyone here and the families represented here and those that aren't here today that sometimes normally would be here. But Lord, let us be more like you, less like ourselves, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.